Imbalance IT Solutions provides a unique consulting approach to transform your organization's data, cybersecurity, and hybrid cloud environments. We would like to welcome you to our podcast series we call The Balancing Act, discussing complex digital transformation. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show.
Hello, listeners out there, and Happy New Year. This is Ryan O'Halloran, VP of Security Strategy here at Inbalance IT, bringing you Episode 7 of the Balancing Act podcast series titled Roadmapping to Data Confidence. Today, we're going to discuss overcoming the challenges in achieving data-driven compliance, AI readiness, and then also automation throughout the data lifecycle. I have with me special guest Jeff Warren. Jeff is the Chief Technology Officer at Netrix, a leading cybersecurity company which focuses on bridging gaps across data, identity, and infrastructure, which are the silos, right? Jeff, thanks for joining me. Let's kick off with a little background on yourself and the mission of Netrix, and we'll get right into it.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Ryan. Good to be here. So quick background on myself. I've been in the data security space for about 15 years. So now I'm overseeing the Netrix product portfolio as CTO. I actually originally got into this space back in the days of SharePoint, just kind of becoming a focal point for enterprises. And I was a product manager for our SharePoint data access governance product before data access governance was really a big thing. So I've kind of been in the space for the past 15 years, helping customers of all sizes solve their data security problems. And that's where Netrix comes in. And I know we'll get into that a little bit today. But like you said, our approach is going a little bit beyond the data to provide that more comprehensive security for organizations.
Yeah. And a lot of times when we talk about next generation and going above and beyond, now we've got this coined term DSPM. Right? Data security posture management, which is not just, a lot of people think immediately that's a DLP and don't realize kind of the spectrum is a little bit broader when we're talking governance in the lifecycle. Can you tell us a little bit about how Netrix approaches DSPM and what that means exactly to you?
Yeah, for sure. So sometimes I think, in this space, the more things change, the more they stay the same. But DSPM is kind of the evolution of multiple approaches to help customers secure their data. One key one being data access governance. But I think the market never quite got it right. There wasn't as much success as people wanted with securing their data through programs like data access governance. And DSPM took some really novel improvements to data security. And that's how we approach it at Netrix with a couple different spins. But the idea is, focus on results, not just showing you where all the problems are, but actually help an organization get there through automation, through simplifying complex processes, make it really easy to understand where your data is at risk. The data that's most important to an organization, their IP, their protected and regulated information, and then give simple ways to keep it secure. And the way that we approach it at Netrix, we view it's very important to have a layered approach to data security. So layer one being the data itself, of course, you need to be able to identify where it is, right? It's everywhere at organizations. It's in the cloud. It's on-prem. It's in databases. It's in files. You need to find it all. You need to get that full picture. And then you need to be able to put protections around it. But if you just stop at the data, as you look at most data breaches that happen today, they're bypassing all those protections by just compromising privileged identities. So you can have all the security in your data in the world, but if an attacker can compromise an admin account, they can usually find their way around them. Or if they can compromise your CEO's account, imagine what they can see in his inbox and the files that he or she have access to. So we look at it like data security first, but then equal is identity security. Protect those identities, make sure they're not compromised, make sure the right people are in the right roles. So you're looking at it from both lenses, and then even further extend it to the endpoint. So you can't just look at the data where it resides in SharePoint. You need to look at the end user's workstations. That's where the attacks take place. Make sure it's not leaving the organization in ways that you don't want, whether it's a malicious attacker or an insider. If you don't have any visibility in the endpoint, you're only seeing part of the picture as well.
I could not agree more. The lock on the door is where it starts before you get to the safe. And I think the market's woken up and said, so the lock on the door is identities. It's not a firewall, right?
Exactly.
And what's in the safe, I need to organize that based on what's most important, right? I'm not going to put all my files in it. And I think that, you know, that's really hard for organizations to get their arms around. And I know we'll talk in a little bit about some of the challenges that have been, you know, notorious failures, I think, in implementing this sort of thing because of the difficulty of it. And I think that also the difficulty of it hasn't necessarily been expressed very well to the business, you know, because I think a lot of companies still think that the data owner is not responsible for the data quality and the data access control. And the IT guy is just the custodian, you know, and I think that that's been known to us for a very long time, but enabling those people with the visibility, you know, the control, right, all those things, that's super hard. And surprisingly, also what's super hard up front is understanding where is the sensitive data. It still shocks me right now. If I go to the majority of businesses out there, now they may have something, right? They may have a native tool in one spot or have started their journey or something else. But if I were to ask for their entire estate, if you were to have a breach, would you know where all the sensitive data was? So you would know if it was even a problem. The answer is almost always no. And a big piece of that is because no matter how good of IT people we are, we can't go and read a million files or 40 terabytes of data and find out where all the social security numbers are. We can't stop people from creating Excel spreadsheets that have passwords in it, right? We tell them, but did they? And so for the customer that's thinking about this, right, its assessment is almost always where you start. How do you start building that assessment? Because the strategy has to come after visibility, right? So tell me a little bit about what an assessment would look like with some of the tooling that's out there now to actually be able to find where the bodies are buried, so to speak.
Yeah, for sure. And I think to play off your metaphor, the first step is you want all your valuables in the safe. So if you're, you know, investing in locks and security, you know you're protecting the right things. And that is what the data assessment does. That helps you identify where your sensitive information is, so you know what to protect and you focus your energy on protecting what matters the most, because organizations have an incredible amount of data. It's growing constantly. Not all of it warrants the same level of protection. So companies are starting with data risk assessments, data scans. And I think there's a lot of capabilities with native controls that you can start with, which is great. So Microsoft 365 is an area we help a lot of organizations with. There's some capabilities you get if you're a E3 customer, and you can start to do some purview discovery scans. Or if you're full E5, you get a little bit more of what you can do there. And you can start to get visibility to, all right, where's my sensitive data in SharePoint, online, in OneDrive, which is great, because that's where a lot of collaboration takes place, and that's where
totally so risk is crazy concentrated there.
Yeah, very concentrated.
You know, you're using your email as a file server by accident.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And Teams, like, everybody's got 50 team sites that they used a year ago that are just sitting out there with who knows what, right? So
yep,
there's not tight governance on what data and the data lifecycle, you know, in these collaboration platforms. So starting there is great. Native controls get you a decent part of the way. And I think where I see organizations maybe struggle, and a good place to start, is usually you can inventory what systems you have across the business. Somebody's probably paying for these, you know. So if you go to your CFO, you probably have record of what systems you're paying for. Are you paying for GCP, AWS? Do you have Salesforce? You know, what are all the systems that you have that could contain sensitive data? And start with that list. And then you kind of have to go point by point and say, okay, do I have any visibility into the data there? Does the native controls of that platform offer me any native abilities to discover sensitive data there? And quickly, you can kind of get a heat map of what your blind spots are going to be. And then you start to figure out, all right, well, are those a big priority for the business? And, you know, can I just start with what I have visibility into? And it's good to just start somewhere. Then I would say, just to layer on top of that, as much as you might feel you've got visibility, when you look at those systems, you know that end users are copying that down to their workstation, are emailing it to their, you know, non-corporate email addresses. There's going to be ways that this is going outside of your organization, or ways that you don't intend it to be leaving the repositories it's in. So you do have to put that on the list and come up with a way to get that visibility as well.
No doubt. And the classifications, or I'm sorry, not the classification, but the attack surface is just so crazy now, because they can send out links that are basically passwords. Yeah. They can, everyone's sending external links out to collaborate. They don't close the loop on those links. We got Teams that has end users in control of some of their own security settings and policies and collaboration. That's scary. Third-party apps coming in, cloud, SaaS. I mean, it goes on and on. So I think it would be irresponsible to think we really know our data yet as a marketplace, I feel like. We don't know where it is, and we don't know how useful it is. And in order to understand like how useful it is, we got to finally like secure this, right?
Yeah. And I've seen a lot of companies start to build data lakes where they're just duplicating the data, you know, taking it from everywhere to put it into one place to start to get business intelligence on top of it. Yeah. That requires an equal level of scrutiny of what you're putting in that data lake. And also usually the records are still left behind in whatever system they were pulled out of. So you're kind of doubling the amount of data you have to secure in those situations.
Yeah. So let's talk about the relationship with AI, the world heavyweight champion of marketing for all companies right now, right? This is the other thing that I think folks don't realize, and why the problem, it's always been a problem, and it's always a problem that we need to solve. Know where the sensitive data is, protected. But what I don't think people understand is when they think of risk, they think, oh, a breach, right? That's a threat. That's not a risk. A risk is a financial loss event to me, right? In the way a CISO would view that. The likelihood of a loss event increases with exposure. So with AI, you know, we didn't have less trained users going in and trying to get to every hidden file share on the network and poke through and drill down and see where it's nested. That's less likely than AI. Give me all the social security numbers. Give me everybody's, give me everybody's spreadsheets with sensitive information. Well, now we've enabled folks that don't have that intuition or that technical aptitude to get to this information extremely easily. And the only protection you have is the access control that's wrapped around that data. And by the same time, you have a very narrow window of making new data before it's a continuous problem. It is a continuous problem. So now, one of the things I've been talking about a lot is like, this isn't just to make your data leak prevention better. This is kind of like almost like a time's running out thing. We're in phase two of AI, right? So kind of interesting. What are your thoughts on where DSPM fits in? Like I've described what I think some of the gotchas are, but yeah. I'd love to hear some of your perspective on, you know, does AI really work until we know our data? I think the answer is no. What do you think?
Yeah. So, yeah, I think there's two ways I'm seeing this play out in real time at organizations who are, you know, adopting AI, whether anybody there likes it or not, because, you know, I think the business level is deciding that this is going to help productivity. This is going to increase profitability. Like let's explore how we can, you know, leverage AI. Almost every company is doing that right now. And for, you know, two points, to illustrate that, one, I look at Microsoft Copilot and Microsoft 365, yeah, exactly to your point. It's making it really easy to discover dark data that maybe would have gone missed. And people might not even be looking to get their hands on data they shouldn't have, but it can start to come back in the prompts. So the way Copilot, you know, basically it's similar technology to what you get with ChatGPT, but the main key difference is it plugs into all of your data in Microsoft 365 through the Microsoft Graph. So as you issue a prompt, it will give you a regular response, and then it'll enhance that by looking at emails, Teams attachments and messages, you know, SharePoint online documents, stuff in your OneDrive, and it's all gated, like you said, on access control, whatever your user has access to. Well, we know that most people don't do a great job with access. They share it with the whole company when it shouldn't be. It's shared externally. It's not locked down. It's very easy to apply way too many permissions to your data that's stored in these platforms. And when people change roles, they still have access to things they probably don't need anymore. So now people are getting way too much information back from Microsoft 365. And I think we've seen Microsoft respond. They just issued a white paper 2 weeks ago on how to secure their, you know, your data before rolling out Copilot. I think this is starting to become a little bit of a barrier. People start rolling out the AI, see that it's giving back way too much information. And now they're starting to, you know, figure out how to remediate that because they want to get the benefits, but you got to secure the data if you're going to get the benefits. So, you know, that's one thing I'm seeing. And then just the other example is if you're building your own AI, a common way is you take a model, you know, a GPT model, and then you can personalize it to your business with something called a RAG, retrieval augmented generation. So it basically is similar to what Microsoft 365 is doing. You layer on this search engine of your own data that helps the responses personalize the results to your prompts. And there's even less control over, you know, who can see what that's coming back there. And most companies think their model maybe isn't trained to return personally identifiable information or other things that shouldn't be. But there's a new wave of technology coming out to kind of security test these tools. And people are finding that, no, it's actually, you know, exposing way more data than you actually intended this to. So I think companies are scrambling to figure out how to securely leverage this, you know, cutting edge technology.
Yeah, no doubt. And I can echo your thoughts there. I've seen everything from a whoopsie to then creating a siloed data lake, which might end up creating other silos unnecessarily just because of lack of readiness and need to, you know, push the project through. I also think there's some positive pieces to it too, right? Because I think as IT people, we've known that data visibility and everything we're talking about here has been an enormous problem for a long time. Really, I would say probably one of the more failed projects in IT. People have assigned manual resources dedicated to this and failed. People have done all the data discovery, maybe done a little bit of a cleanup one time and never kept it that way, right? It seems to like continue to happen. And it's tough to get budget for that because data security is kind of like, wait a minute, isn't that the core of what's going on, right? And not realizing at the business level, I think that there's a lot of self-service and business unit responsibility, right? And when I look at that, it seems like because AI is here, now we can get that budget. And it ultimately was just important before AI. But to me, it seems like now AI is pushing the issue, to your point. And I think that's good in general. That's good for AI. That's good for data security. That's good for, you know, data-driven protection, which, like you said, it's really been like, you know, firewall email and then network. And then the data really never gets to the point where it's defending itself. So we got to get to the point where all other layers combined, you know, we can do something about that, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's sparking a lot of conversations that needed to happen.
Yeah. And next thing I kind of want to talk about, you'd made a great point about native tools. And I just kind of want to touch on that for a minute. Because one of the things I'm seeing, right, I think concentrated risk is, of course, in Microsoft and cloud storage, you know, and usually your CRM or whatever your core business app is. But a lot of organizations are cloud multi-cloud curious or in multi-cloud. Devs have started putting workloads in areas that the business thinks is interesting, but nobody's thinking about how do we comprehensively protect all this multi-cloud stuff that's going on. So I'd be interested, you know, I think it's going to become more important that around, if we continue doing that, that we don't do the native tool here in GCP that nobody has any staff for, and Amazon, which people are okay in the Midwest and really good on the coast. And then we're like the Microsoft, for whatever reason, right? And then we're like the Microsoft Azure in the Midwest, folks. Like everyone's going to find out where the workloads work best and the business isn't going to ignore it. And I think at that point in time, if we don't look at this holistically soon enough, it's going to be really hard to unwind all that, you know, and unravel all that. Would you agree?
I would. And I think it is similar to the AI discussion of just security being a bit of an afterthought. So what's going to meet the business needs first, and then maybe security gets overlooked. So if you think about the multi-cloud scenario, a lot of customers standardize on Microsoft 365 and they do a whole lot there, and they've got a lot of workloads in Azure, but then they start to build out an application and maybe they decide to use AWS for object storage and S3 buckets because, you know, it's got great reliability, cost, you know, other benefits. And they build the solution there only to find out later that when the data security conversation comes up, it's apples and oranges. Now you're talking about how do you discover data like we talked about earlier. Well, if you're using the controls within AWS, they have something called MACI. For instance, it doesn't have optical character recognition, so it can't be looking at image files, which could be a big gap depending on, you know, what type of data your company is processing. If you're storing scanned images or medical
QR
images,
codes, maybe.
Yeah,
QR know, there's codes all sorts be... of crazy stuff.
Exactly. Now. So now, okay, the data that's stored in Azure, you can answer for of where do I have scanned medical images, but anything that's being processed in AWS, you don't. And now you have to start looking for different approaches and techniques that you can do that. And that same concept applies to every cloud repository that you choose to adopt. You know, you need to look at what capabilities are offered either from the vendor themselves, or if you're using a third-party solution, are they able to cover it? We see it on the network attached storage side, you know, over the past decade, people switch NAS devices like constantly. Oh, and yeah. Then only find out, oh, this one doesn't support activity auditing, or this one doesn't support, you know, access-based enumeration. And
or it's not
stuck with
widely
it.
Distributed. Or
Yeah. But, you know, it saved money on the front end. So we're stuck with it, and we figure out how to secure it. And it's happening in the multi-cloud scenario the same way.
Yeah, definitely. Why do you think it is? I mean, it's clear that there isn't, I think businesses out there are like, well, can't we just do this manually still? And now we talked about how that's been difficult to pitch moving forward if you're not in an extreme, you know, a compliant environment and things like that. But why do you think businesses still think you can manually do this? I mean, in my mind, one of the things I think I talk about that surprises people, especially now because of the limited timeframes you have and all the data that's getting created, you can't keep up with that. I don't see how you could ever do anything but automate it and think you'd be successful. I mean, why do you think there's such a miss there where people have still been assigning folks to this and trying to do like a one and done, like it's going to last forever? What do you think? Because I still think we got to have that conversation. And I think, like I said, AI can help that conversation because businesses are all talking about that. But what do you think?
I think data security risk is an inhibitor to moving forward with projects. And, you know, it kind of buries that conversation a little bit. I think when they're adopting Azure, Microsoft 365, there's so many security capabilities that are advertised to the customer that, of course, would keep your data secure. And then there's a lack of conversation visibility into the volume and frequency of data growth that these platforms then create once you let people use these tools to start collaborating in all different ways. And you find out that you've got data in, just stick with Microsoft, you know, Teams, OneDrive, Flow, you know, all these different repositories people are collaborating. Now your data problem just quintupled, and all those security controls, they're not keeping up with that. They're doing very surface level, you know, basic things. So I think it's an inhibitor to, you know, thinking forward to the benefits the business wants to get. And that conversation just isn't happening. And the visibility isn't easy to show somebody, you know, to show an executive to say, here's your risk. Here's how fast your data is growing. Here's the amount that's going to the wrong places that's not stored securely. Here's the amount of external people from your organization that can access your customers' data or your employees' data. Yeah. You know, but when they see that, and AI is starting to surface, you know, some of those discussions, when they see that, then it becomes a no-brainer that, yeah, this is something we have to invest in.
Yeah. And I think we're getting better at communicating risks to the leadership, right? Which is also helping. Risk for risk sense, like just getting them involved in these things, has also been a big eye-opener for a lot of companies, I think, right? Because I think the way that we need to think about this is if we can get the business to agree with us on the fact that, how would I put this? Trying to find a clever way to describe this. But basically, if we can get the business to agree with us that data blind spots equal embarrassment, long recovery, and expensive recovery, if we were on that same page, that's where we need to be. I think if they're as embarrassed as we are over that, and where we're both like, ask for budget, this is table stakes. That's next. And I'm excited for that. You know, I think that that's really going to be where kind of the tracks change a little bit. And then we can really start making use of all these things you've been ripping apart and reassembling, you know.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts in that regard? To me, it seems like that's the biggest problem. You know, and if I'm a CEO, I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want a long recovery, right? I don't want more expensive, responses.
Yep. And I think we've seen certain things come in and tease that out a little bit. You know, cybersecurity insurance was getting conversations going around just the insane premiums that was costing businesses. They couldn't get it anymore. So that gave them a safety blanket that got kind of yanked away a little bit. And now, okay, you're actually responsible for avoiding those long recovery times, the brand damage that could happen from a data breach. And, you know, compliance has taken a couple cracks at it. You know, we've seen beneficial advancements with, you know, data privacy, compliance regulations. The most recent HIPAA regulations are becoming a little bit more stringent, but usually they're not going deep enough. You know, usually if you have basic awareness of your data and get basic understanding of privileged accounts and where they have access, you know, the basics get you by, but the basics don't actually protect you. So it's happening. The conversations are slowly percolating. I'd like to see it happen a little bit more quickly, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's always a slow drip with this stuff. One thing that I do think is interesting too, though, that is positive is once we kind of learn the lessons, when we actually do discover it, guess what, everybody? We'll be able to operationalize where these things belong for the future, because now we know where they are and where they shouldn't be and where they could be. And I think that ultimate hierarchy, kind of like that rearrangement, that refresh of that to simplify everything you discover, that's where, like, okay, now I'm with that in automation, now I'm in adaptive mode that I've always wanted, you know? One of the last questions I have for you, because I know we're running out of time. Do you think that enabling, democratizing, some would say, the business units, your finance unit, your HR unit, your all that, with true responsibility for access control, right? Is that's after what I just said. I think we discover it, we organize it, we train on it, we automate deviations from policy, right? How long do you think that will take? Because, like, just coming off the heels, it made me think, of course it's too long, but when do you think we'll get to that point? Is it 5 years? Is it, I hope it's before quantum.
I think it's kind of like iTunes, you know, how do you get people to pay the musicians for their music and all that? You just have to make it so easy that you don't want to do it another way. And I think coming from a data access governance background where we try to democratize and help data custodians and data and business owners make decisions on their data, it's not a language they're native in, and they don't understand data risk. They don't understand data classification always. It needs to be really easy. If you're going to ask them a question, you need to ask it the simplest way, the least amount of times possible, you know, and just like you said, automation is key. A lot of things that we're asking from business owners, we don't even need to ask them. We know what problems are, and we can automatically remediate them without them being involved. If you do some upfront planning of, here's my classification framework, this data is highly classified, these are the places it can live, this data is, you know, confidential, these are the places it can live, you can make decisions through automation on behalf of data owners and only really ask them questions that you need them for. And I think solutions over the years have overdone it, have made it too hard, and given it a bit of a bad name, which has stood in the way of its success.
Yeah, because it's not like we mind helping. It's just, it's that hard for us to attribute what's going on while doing the day-to-day. So, man, we definitely have some challenges ahead, but it's exciting too, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah, I see things getting better and better. So it's a winding road, but we're heading in the right direction.
Jeff, couldn't appreciate your time more this morning. Listeners, Imbalance and Networks can assist you, right? We can help you define that journey to governance of your data. We appreciate your listening and welcome you back to check out a new episode each month. Jeff, thanks again. And until next time, everyone out there, stay safe in the cyber world.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan.
Imbalance IT Solutions wants to thank you for listening and invite you to join us for the next episode in our podcast series. Remember, Imbalance IT Solutions can help you transform your business's technology, and we welcome you to reach out to us for more information on our website at imbalanceit.com. See you on the next one.